I drove over to the Sonic Drive-In, ordered a jalapeno burger, a chicken fried steak sandwich, a chili cheese dog with extra onions, french fries, tater tots, washed it down with one beer, two beers, three beers, a shot of whiskey, a margarita, and a Bloody Mary. I got nervous. My skin broke out in hives. I mentioned inside. My liver's all twisted up. But you know what I did? I took Deborah, went to the liquor store. I loaded up with alcohol, more specifically vodka, whiskey, beer, tequila, more beer, more vodka, more whiskey, and more beer.
Hour two of overtime coming at you live here at Truly Hard Seltzer Studios. It's Tanner, Tucker, and Hayden Ryan along with you for one more hour on your Monday evening, President's Day evening. And getting back into it here. Man, real quick update on the Daytona 500 that got delayed at the restart one day because of just a little bit of rain, because it's 2020 and somehow NASCAR can't install tires that run on wet surfaces, and they can't install windshield wipers on their cars or something like that. I don't know. I'm not in that business. I don't know why that's not a thing. But trying to finish the 500 right now, and oh! They had the big one! Big old wreck! Took out everyone!
Everybody.
Well, not literally everyone, but just took out a whole lot of people. It's pretty much took out, it looks like everyone from like 3rd to 20th.
That's a big one. I would classify that as the big one.
Including Kyle Busch, which is pretty funny. I'm not like a huge NASCAR fan anymore, but I can laugh at Kyle Busch. I'll always do that. Apparently it took out, as if you were listening at the end of hour one to Westchester's call, it did take out, cousin of old Trey Wallace, old Bubba. Took out Bubba. Oh no.
He doesn't deserve that.
I really tried to watch the 500 yesterday, guys, by the way. Went over to my friend's house, who's a huge NASCAR fan, and just because he was ordering food, brought over, and I went over to his house to hang out with him in a minute. I went over, was going to sit down and watch it. First, they had to have the delay before the race started because of a few drops of rain, so that had to be delayed by 45 minutes. Then they ran for about 20 laps, and then it was done. It's very annoying. Didn't even get to see anyone wreck. Not that I root for the wrecks or anything like that, but come on. You like seeing them sometimes. That's why a lot of people like watching NASCAR races. You just hope everyone's okay. You like to see some twisted metal. It's America.
It's human nature.
Yeah, exactly. I tried watching yesterday, and Mother Nature had other plans. They're running it right now. Ryan Newman is leading. No, no, not Ryan Newman. Oh, God.
I was about to say, what?
Let me give you some familiar names here. Chase Elliott's in third. Okay, go Chase. Joey Logano's in fourth. Kevin Harvick is in sixth. Clint Bowyer, who's still somehow racing, is seventh. And I'm just, yeah, we're getting out of the top ten there. So that's your little Daytona 500 update. Oh, I'm just letting you know if you want to look at the video of the big one. The big one has occurred in Daytona. That's what Talladega is mainly known for.
Yeah, the big one. There's always that one.
Those restrictor plate races, those big super speedways, it's always going to happen like that. I've low-key still wanted to go to a NASCAR race, even though I'm not a big fan.
I've got buddies wanting to go to Bristol this year.
See, Bristol's a whole lot easier to go to.
You can see the whole track. I mean, when you go to, because my dad used to be really big, you know, and he would go to Talladega, and he would be like, well, I mean, you can hardly see the other end of the track, so you really see just your segment. So that it would be really hard to get fully invested into a large race like that. But I think Bristol's different.
Hayden, have you ever been to Bristol for a race since you're up from that area?
Oh, yeah.
How many times?
I don't know. Probably close to 10.
Ooh. Oh, but, wow.
I mean, not. I mean, there's two a year, so it's really not that many. So, I mean, there's been I don't know. If you count the, if you're just doing the big time series, that's like I'm close to 40 in my lifetime, so it's not that many. Because there's two a year in the spring and fall. I think I've been to the fall one at least once. I've sat in the box a few times, which that's pretty sweet. I don't know. It's all right. I've been there when it's rained out. Rains a lot in the spring race. It's rained out the spring race two or three times that I've been to it. I did go to that race one time. But I like the scanners. They're pretty nice. The people there are just like, they get too invested in it. Just like life or death sometimes.
Mm. Well, I was going to ask you is, did you ever go when you were like younger, back when it was like more of a bigger deal? Because the thing with Bristol is, from what I've been told, is that this just goes with NASCAR's falling popularity as a whole. But, you know, Bristol especially, it's like you could not get in there. It would be sold out all the time, especially if you're talking night race. Forget about it. Now it's like you can get in any time. There would be a good crowd there, but it's not going to be a sellout.
Yeah, I think that was pretty much for the most part when I was really young, when it was big, big time. By the time I was like 5 or 6, it was starting to where the spring race was kind of like getting sparse. The fall race was still big, but the spring race wasn't as big because it was during the day on a Sunday, not on a Saturday night. So, but they would be giving away tickets to like our elementary school for just to go to Bristol.
Nice.
For the spring race anyway. So, I guess I'm a little too young to have seen it at its peak, but I did go to the Battle of Bristol. That was insane.
How was that? Could you see?
I missed out too. I missed out.
Yeah, I sat. I sat like halfway up in the lower bowl, so and kind of in the at turn 4 or something. So not on the straightaways, but honestly, thought it was a better view than like lower. On the straightaways, because the way the field was so far from the stands, if you are lower bowl, like it would be like watching a game from here to like way outside the station. The angle of it was hard. They even put stands on the track; those were pretty sweet. But I had a good view. It was terrible getting into it because they did obviously security because it was like the biggest ever. So we were tailgating or whatever, and we decided to go in the game, and it's like an hour and a half before the game starts. And we've been to Bristol so many times, we're walking up the ramp, and I'm like, what is going on right now? And there is the most amount of people I've ever seen, like, crowded up, waiting to go through. It was like the strictest security thing you've ever seen. And so we waited for like an hour to get in, and then after a while, people just started like running through it. So, I mean, I'm just sitting there thinking the whole game. Like, I saw at least, I don't know, 20,000 people just run straight through security. Like, because it was just a mob. Like, because they wanted to get in the game before it started. Like, easily could have been a bomb at that race. Or that game.
Whoa.
Easily. That's terrifying to think of.
Oh, it was terrifying. God. I was just sitting there at the game. I was like, I could die tonight.
There's a lot of people in here who haven't been checked.
Yes, like legit. I mean, I didn't get checked because it was just like legitimately 50,000 people. I saw them just run.
That would have been Tennessee football's luck that night. It's like you get up that big league against Virginia Tech, and all of a sudden you just hear beep, beep. It just, I mean, just mushroom clouds.
I was lucky.
I'm like, yeah.
162,000 people there.
Would you go again if they ever decide to do that again?
Yeah, I think they would probably learn from their mistakes because they were just really paranoid about a shooter or bomb there, which should be. It's like ton of people, but they had way too much. Like it was too much security, but it's also like they needed a lot of security. But it was just like the way the security was set up was just like time consuming.
It was like TSA.
Yes. It was like taking so long for each person.
Take off your shoes and all that. Ugh.
And so that's why I was backing up for so long. Like, we got there early to get in the game, and we still like were waiting.
That's insane to think of. See, I didn't know that aspect of it. I just
yeah, that was never talked about. I never heard about that.
That's the first I've heard about that security situation. I didn't know that they had thousands of people just unchecked in there.
Yeah, just like a horde of zombies just running through.
You could just have a small militia walk in there.
Yeah.
Just armed and everything. Oh, that's
like just people like bull rushing these barriers and just shoving them down.
I mean, that really does tell, like, if you have enough people, you can just kind of
Yeah,
what are you going to do?
I don't know. I don't know. What can you do?
Exactly. There's nothing.
Imagine being head of security that night.
And then someone comes to you and is like, hey, so we had a, just, you know, we had a little thing about 50,000 people just sprinting through security. No big deal, though. Oh, why are you mad?
Why are you, why's your face red, sir? What's going on here?
Come on, dude. It's just 50,000. I mean, what?
That's terrifying.
It's not even half, dude.
So Hayden just enlightened me. I didn't know about
that. He just blew the whistle on this whole operation.
Me and John were talking about that the other day, like during one of our breaks. But we even went around to like four or five gates, because Bristol has a lot of gates, because it's it used to be packed out, like you said. And every single gate was like imagine the student gate of UT times like 20. Just and going 10 times slower.
Yeah, no way. No way. That's, I don't know if I've ever sat in a line that was just like that slow before. I've been in long lines. I don't know if I've been in like a slow line like that. No, I take it back. The first time I tried to hit beer at Neyland for BYU, that was
a slow line.
Slow. Got my beer for second half, though, because I needed it for that one. That's a whole nother story, though. Guys, over the weekend here, what I originally wanted to talk about, not a whole lot to get into this here, but who caught anything from NBA All-Star Weekend, whether it's game, dunk contest, three-point contest, whatnot? Did you tune into anything over this weekend, all the festivities?
I watched the dunk contest, a good amount of it. I didn't see every dunk, but I saw, you know, most of it.
Okay, Aaron Gordon robbed, yes or no?
Yeah. Yeah, I would kind of lean toward it, but I don't know, what's his name, Derrick Jones Jr.?
Yeah.
His was pretty sweet. Like, he kept doing the same one over and over again, but he made it look so easy.
It's 50-50 for me.
I mean,
people are saying that...
You are a Heat fan, and you do have bias. I have to just let people know about that.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't think that he was going to win it after... Because all he was doing was just the between the legs. Something before, some lead up, and then right hand to left hand... Between the legs,
called like an East Bay or something like that.
Oh, I don't have a clue.
But Aaron Gordon did some of his same dunks too. But I think who did he lose to the first time? Zach LaVine.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know.
And Aaron Gordon's already saying like he's not about to do that.
Yeah, he said I've been robbed twice. I'm not doing it again.
The one thing, whether or not you agree that Gordon should have got the title or not, the one thing I don't want to see people saying is that the dunk over Taco Fall wasn't that impressive because he kind of hit his head a little bit. Taco Fall's 7'5", 7'6". You try to do that.
Yeah, I wouldn't get to his waist.
I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear.
Yeah, it's insanely impressive.
I don't want to hear they didn't clear his whole body. It's humanly impossible to clear his whole body just jumping off a court.
I mean, it's a lot better than jumping over Chance the Rapper. I mean, sure, Chance is, what, like 5'10"? Impressive, sure, but...
All I know is people hated his halftime show last night.
I didn't even see it. I just saw everybody talking about how much they hated it.
Apparently he was only doing some of his newer songs, which people hate.
Yeah, he started off with like... some of the acid rap songs.
Which people really liked, of course.
What's his most popular on that?
Cocoa Butter Kisses.
It wasn't that one. It was the other one.
I thought they said he tried to do that one.
He did like a 10-second riff of it, and then like the... Isn't that the one that's like... Na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na?
I don't remember, honestly.
I think it is. He started off doing that like in between his songs, and people were like cheering, and then he immediately went into like his new Hot Shower song.
Yeah,
people were like, what is going on right now?
He baits you in.
Then Lil Wayne came out. It was just like, what?
I saw people tweeting that he should have been thrown in prison for doing that. Like going from that song to Hot Showers or whatever. Yeah, a whole lot going on. Also, I have to mention the Chaka Khan national anthem. I think she might have surpassed Fergie in all-time bad national anthems. I didn't watch the whole thing because, like, the 15-second clip I got of her, trying to finish it. That's one of the worst things my ears have ever been exposed to.
Yeah, I haven't finished the video.
I wouldn't either.
I didn't see it live, but I saw enough.
I feel like Giannis or someone could have went over to an actual American flag, spat on it, and lit it on fire, and it wouldn't have been as disrespectful as that national anthem.
No.
It was pretty bad. And you thought Colin Kaepernick taking a knee was bad.
You know?
Give you a break.
You know, I'm starting to think maybe the NBA is being a little... I got a conspiracy theory. Maybe they're just getting these people and saying, just sing it as badly as you can, because then we'll go viral, and people will be talking about the All-Star game.
Meme material. Nothing's a better meme than Draymond Green's reaction to Fergie. Just him trying his best.
All the players were so good.
Draymond's was the best of all time.
I was really hoping that would happen again. That's why I watched the video, because I was like, oh, are they going to be laughing? I want to see it. And I was disappointed.
They're better holding back this time around. Okay, and to the game itself. Man, I tell you what, I was kind of skeptical of how they did the whole new format and everything. But I didn't watch the first three quarters of it.
Me neither.
But then people started, what?
What? What's the problem,
Hayden?
Throw
your arms up like that.
You have to see the build-up to appreciate the finale.
I've been watching the All-Star game for years.
Some
and
of
like,
us have lives.
I'm never impressed by it that much. But then at the start of the fourth quarter saying, hey, they're actually playing out there. So, yes, I got to watch most of the fourth quarter. And to see in an All-Star game, yelling at the refs for calls, playing actual defense.
It was the best one. One of the announcers last night said it was the best one in 25 years, and I agree. It was awesome.
It probably honestly is.
It's the best one I've seen in my lifetime.
Yes, they have to stick with this format going forward.
Absolutely. You go away from it, you're an idiot.
Yeah, I like the points. Points at the end.
The target score is a very cool concept. It actually made me anticipate the end of an All-Star game.
Yeah.
which is unheard of.
We got robbed of a game winner, though. That's the only, like, the downer about it.
Maybe we went to the free throw.
Do you think Anthony Davis missed that first one just to make it more
He said in the post-game interview.
Oh, he did?
He said, I was telling my teammates beforehand.
You think he was joking,
I don't know. He kind of said it pretty serious. He said, I told my teammates I was going to miss the first one to put some pressure on myself.
85% free throw shooter. I mean, I would say that too.
No way.
I don't think
you skeptical of that.
I don't. It didn't look. I mean, it looked like he was trying to make it when you, like in real time. But I don't know. Since you didn't watch it, the first quarter was pretty much LeBron dominated, and the second quarter, I guess their plan was just not try at all because Giannis' team dominated them, but it was not even close. I mean, I didn't watch like stare at the TV for very long. Just passingly, and then LeBron kind of came back third quarter. Actually, it was tied. I think they tied the third quarter. But LeBron was still net down going into the final period. So that was pretty cool to see him, like, just outscore him. I think they were still down by, like, 8 net. So they ended up having to score 32 at the end. So, yeah.
So, wait. So you said they tied in the third?
I think they tied the third.
I think they have – it's a little messed up then because they did the whole – you know, Giannis's team earned, I think it was $100,000 for their charity. And, you know, since Braun's team won it, it was $300,000. And they won the first quarter. So they had $400,000. There's $100,000 missing. So since they tied, did neither charity get any money?
I think what they did was –
because they didn't include like 50,000 to one and 50 to the other.
50K to each would just make sense.
But they was not included in the totals.
They can't just hold charity.
Did
money.
They just go, oh, sorry, kids?
How bad like, is that for Adam Silver? It's like, kids, you don't get your money.
No.
Your team should have tried harder.
Yeah, they tied.
Where whoever won the next quarter got the third quarter, too?
I don't know.
Is that what they did?
Do we have to look this up?
I don't think so because.
Tucker,
was,
I'm putting you on assignment.
Okay.
Look at what happened to this missing money. Because
it said, because the game, like winning it was $300,000.
We have stolen charity money.
Oh, it was $300,000.
Yeah, winning it, because okay, I remember at the bottom it said winner gets $300,000, and they won the first quarter, so that makes it $400,000.
I will lead this segment with this tweet here from one of my favorite Twitter follows, good old Rob Perez, Worldwide Wob. So funny with NBA Twitter. During the middle of the fourth quarter when everything was just going crazy. He sums it up pretty nicely. He says, LeBron trying to chase down the entire opposing team, Kyle Lowry making viewers pull their hair out, James Harden launching bricks, a playoff game has broken out at the United Center. Kyle Lowry sucks, by the way. Big time trash. Hit this first break here of hour number two, 865-546-8200. If you'd like to chime in as we are with you until 8 o'clock this evening, we're going to catch the first break. Be back shortly here on Overtime. We are back here on Overtime, rolling along here in hour number two, 865-546-8200. If you'd like to hop on the program with us here, Daytona 500 is apparently getting a whole lot more crazy. They just had another big wreck. It's looking like maybe like five people might finish the race.
Last one standing.
I mean, apparently that's not unheard of because last week they had like their preseason shootout type of race. It's either like the shootout or the duel. I don't know what they do anymore, but like they only had six cars finish last week.
Whoa.
It can happen. I mean, they keep going to someone crosses that finish line first. Denny Hamlin first, by the way, for anyone wanting to keep up with that. Getting back into things here, I want to let you know that we were brought to you by KEC Kitchen Center in historic Bearden, 5902 Kingston Pike, across from Food City is the showroom location. Open 8 to 5 Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 2 on Saturday. Stop in there if you'd like to check out the selection in person. Say hi to Kelly and the crew. Tell them that Fan Run Radio sent you over to check out their nice local business that they've been running there for over a decade now. The still kind of newish location. They've been there out in Kingston Pike for about a year now. Stop in and see them. They got every surface you could imagine that's perfect for your home. Granite, quartz, marble, recycled glass, and more. They will have the perfect option for you inside or outside of your house. Call 865-971-5800-971-5800 for a free in-home countertop estimate. And check out kckitchencenter.com to find out more. Browse their inventory there as well. It's 9,000 kitchen and bath makeovers and counting. KC Kitchen Center. Gentlemen, XFL Week 2 is in the books. A tough one for my St. Louis Battlehawks. Comeback fell just short. The Roughnecks, man, that Houston team had too much firepower. Couldn't get it done, but other than that, just for the XFL as a whole, I think another solid weekend. I was thoroughly entertained by what I did see. It's because I really avoided the Seattle-Tampa Bay game. I wanted to avoid that on purpose, but got to see a pretty good one. Dallas versus LA yesterday. It was like a slow burn type of game. It was really not a whole lot of scoring until the fourth quarter, and those teams just start to explode. The Renegades get their win on the road against the Los Angeles Wildcats. Houston 28, St. Louis 24 yesterday. And Saturday's game, Seattle 17, Tampa Bay 9. DC Defenders 27, New York Guardians zilch. Week 2 XFL, guys. Impressions so far 2 weeks into it. I think it's been consistent from week 1 to week 2. I really don't have too many big-time complaints with the product on the field.
Yeah, they're doing a really good job of staying in the media. And because the AAF last year, that first week, everybody was really excited. And then no one really talked about it nearly as much as they did the first week. The second week.
You know what helps? XFL has really good social media presence.
Hey, they're real good at it.
They're good at Twitter.
Yeah.
They're really good at Twitter.
And that's huge in today's world.
I check their Twitter account every now and then. They keep gaining so many followers especially after every XFL weekend.
I'm pretty sure they're head of social media left Sports Illustrated to do that job. Or he turned down a job with Sports Illustrated or something that.
I mean, whoever it is knows how to use the internet.
I follow him personally on Twitter. He's got a good Twitter account.
I like people who know how to use the internet and charge Twitter accounts.
Yeah.
It just makes a whole lot of sense here. Hayden, who's your team again? Are you Houston?
Yep. Houston Roughnecks.
You bastard. Absolute bastard. Congrats, I guess. Did you get to tune in a lot yesterday?
I didn't get to watch much of that game because the fact it's on FS1 and that doesn't come on the dorm cable package.
It's rough.
So that's disappointing, but... And I think they just did that because of the race, and that kind of bumped it off the main Fox channel.
It did.
So I watched the highlights, though, because I'm a true fan. But I was keeping up with, like, live.
Rough night for life.
Yeah. PJ Walker, he's pretty good.
He's got talent.
I think we're seeing that Houston is pretty good, and DC is really good too. I think those two are going to be. Those two are going to be the playoffs for sure.
That may be your XFL championship game because, you know, one obviously from, well, Houston's in the West, right? I'm not imagining
that. I have no idea.
Actually, I'd have to check that out, man. Where they are, like, on the U.S., I'd have to check that out. But, yeah, that's definitely a playoff matchup of some kind waiting to happen. I'm just – poor Tampa Bay, man. Poor Tampa Bay. They're already struggling with the Bucs down there. Now they get the by far the worst team in the XFL, the Vipers. 9 points against awful Seattle. Which, hey, credit to Seattle fans, by the way, from what I did see.
It was packed.
Man, the Pacific Northwest has some diehard sports fans. Like, you can put, like, any type of sport out there. They will probably come in droves, and they will be really loud.
I didn't know they were playing the Seahawks stadium.
They do. I was kind of worried about that when I saw that they would be playing in a stadium that big. Because they're not going to attract, like, gigantic crowds. But, again, credit to Seattle fans, man. They came out. They showed out. What we got on tap for week 3 just to get a little preview here? Because, man, I'm just – don't you just feel that when you watch this league – and when you see people talking about it, you feel like it's not really a gimmick. You feel that, hey, it's being talked about like any other league.
It's given the respect of a legitimate football league. Instead of like, again, I keep going back to the AF because it's the only like recent blah, blah, blah. It was kind of looked like a little brother kid, you know, gimmick, like joke league. This seems to be a legitimate sport. Like they're playing for real.
And how smart does Vince McMahon and company look for waiting an extra year to start this league instead of going head-to-head in 2019? Because the AAF kind of gave you a blueprint of what not to do.
Yep.
Of course, you already have one blueprint of what not to do with the first XFL, but I feel like that was such an absolute gimmick from the get-go that like clearly you don't repeat some of the things you did. But AAF being, again, last year, and that they were trying to like – be revolutionary with some of these new rules and everything, gave you a blueprint. Also gave you a blueprint of how not to financially mistreat your players.
Yeah, blueprint number one, have money.
Money's important. Good thing Vince McMahon has plenty of it.
He's got more than plenty.
He has plenty. I mean, they're supposed to have enough for at least 3 seasons.
Oh, really? That's the projection.
I'm kind of worried about it because I'm just sitting here thinking, there's only two good teams. Everyone else is terrible.
I wouldn't say everyone else is terrible.
St. Louis is okay. St. Louis is
serviceable. I think New York is okay. They just like had an awful game.
They looked horrible.
They did have an awful game.
L.A., they look better than they did last week, so that's positive. Seattle's terrible.
Dallas is mediocre.
Tampa Bay's terrible.
Tampa Bay is terrible.
And Dallas is okay. I think Landry Jones' first start was underwhelming, I think, for people because – I mean, he even said it himself. He said he played terrible.
Yeah.
So, see how they improve. But I think that could really hurt them in the end when they get to, like, this stretch run. And it's going to be, like, Houston and D.C. with, like, these 9-1, 10-0, 8-2 records. And everyone else is, like, 500, like, jockeying for these spots that aren't even going to matter in the playoffs because they're going to get smashed. So... I don't know. We'll see.
Do you think players ever start to not go to college and play in the XFL?
I don't. You have to be so many years out of high school for XFL.
Oh, really? Sure. They have that?
I don't know if you can go straight off high school.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that.
I don't know if they have that rule. I think
because
I think
again.
I remember talking to somebody about that.
I think they were talking about how like Jamar Chase could have gone this year, but the thing that's going to hurt them is. So, say Jamar Chase said he's going to go play in the XFL next year, not mm-hmm. play for LSU, because he's already accomplished everything in college.
Yeah.
He's going to have to sit out over a year because the XFL doesn't start. He wouldn't be able to play till the spring of 2021 because he wouldn't be able – the XFL doesn't start till the spring. You know what I'm saying?
Maybe I doubt you see – like Jamar Chase is going to be should be the first wide receiver off the board in next year's draft. I don't think you see players that have that eye of a draft stock try to take that risk. Maybe you would see
– going to have to be a lot more money for them to do
it. It will have to be a lot more money, but which that's why I think it's more viable for people who probably have like fourth to seventh round draft projections. So I think it might be more viable for them. Yeah, find out the high.
So, yeah, they spoke to the commissioner, Oliver Luck, and he said that the league is not subject to the eligibility rules in the NFL. In theory, the XFL could select players directly from high school.
I was thinking NFL because you have to be like 3 years or something out of high school.
Yeah, it's 3 years in NFL.
Zachary Evans.
Ooh.
He could do it.
I mean, it's not a whole lot of money. It's not NFL money, but it's like, do you want to make money versus not make money?
You go to the XFL and you absolutely destroy, you could make an NFL team.
It's like playing overseas in basketball for a year before you get
exactly. You got to bet on yourself.
Let's hit this break, guys, because we have a loaded birthday game when we come back here. You two have not played against each other yet.
I'm 1-0.
Tucker is 1-0 technically. Hayden has been the king of this game for a little bit, but he has lost back-to-back here. I'm very interested to see this upcoming edition of the birthday game. We will get to that after this break. Stay tuned. You're listening to Overtime. Ready for this one? I am ready for this one here. It is time for the birthday game. It's a loaded edition of the game. Guys, February the 17th is a fantastic day for famous people being born. I have, including three from yesterday, 11 total. Ooh, marathon edition. Marathon edition of the birthday game. It's going to be the first to, what's it, the first to six?
Yeah.
First to six gets the dub. I got a lot to get into, so let's not waste any time. It's Hayden versus Tucker birthday game. Here we go. Starting off with yesterday's birthdays. He turned 30 yesterday. He is a Canadian music artist.
Drake.
Not Drake. Good guess. He does like mainly like R&B, like pop R&B. He's not like really a rapper. He's more of like a singer. He's got like a really high voice. Makes some sexy music, I guess
Nelly.
Is how you describe it.
He's not from Canada. I'm just gonna Nelly. I'm gonna start guessing.
This dude goes by a stage name. Oh my god. Okay. Songs, okay. Known for his hits such as The Hills, Can't Feel My Face.
The Weeknd.
It is The Weeknd.
He's from Canada?
Yeah.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
I always feel like that's a group, not a singular person. That's why I get so confused.
It's one person. All right, Tucker on the board first. All righty. He turned 62 yesterday. He is an American rapper and actor. Yeah, he's been in the music industry since the 80s.
Dr. Dre.
It's not Dr. Dre.
Snoop Dogg.
It's not Snoop Dogg. He's known for his solo rap career, and he's also the front man of a heavy metal band called Body Count, by the way. It's been together since the 90s. He's known for his acting, though, on the NBC police drama Law & Order SVU.
Ice-T.
Since 2000. It's Ice-T!
Let's go!
I don't know any Ice-T songs.
I don't either.
I didn't even get to
it. As soon as you said the show, I knew who it was. Yeah.
We're really known personally for acting. All right. 2-0, Tucker, but game just started, though. All right. Last birthday for yesterday. He would have been 79 years old. He would have been 79 years old. He passed away, once I get his profile up here, passed away this past decade here. Oh, dadgummit, hold on. He was a dictator. He was a dictator of North Korea.
Kim Jong-un.
Kim Jong-il.
Kim Jong-il.
Kim Jong-il. Kim Jong-un is his son who currently rules.
Yeah, he is alive.
Kim Jong-il in his glasses.
I gave you that one.
Yep, there we go.
You that one.
Fair game. It's fair game, Tucker. All right, we move on to today's loaded birthdays with Tucker leading 2-1. Ooh, here we go. All right, let me just pick one out here. Let's start with this one. 55 years old today. He is an American film director and producer. He is known for directing and producing big-budget, high-concept action films characterized by fast cutting.
Michael Bay.
It's Michael Bay! I didn't even get to explosions. Yeah.
That was just a shot in the dark.
Yep. Transformers and Pearl Harbor and Armageddon and explosion. Michael Bay explosions. No one got that right.
It's really bad whenever you said, like big budget action movie. I was like, well, it's Michael Bay, probably.
Michael Bay movies suck. All right, 3-1 lead for Tucker. Next one, just picking one out here. Ooh, this is a good one. I can't believe it, but she's 39 years old today. She is 39 years old. She is an American media personality, businesswoman, socialite, model, singer, actress, fashion designer, and DJ. This will give it away here. She is a great-granddaughter of Conrad Hilton.
Paris Hilton.
It's Paris Hilton.
What kind of hint is that?
Hilton.
Hilton. I know you're not too young to not remember Paris Hilton. I know you're not, team, but you had to remember.
Something different than that.
Well, I gave the last name. All right. Yeah, don't complain when I get the last name, Hayden. Still anyone's game, but a 4-1 lead for Tucker, though. Still anyone's game, though. All right, this next one here. Ooh, let's do this one. He's also 39, exact same day as Paris Hilton. He is an American actor, and once I get his profile up here, I'll name you all his movies. American actor. Started out as a child actor. He appeared in the films as a child. A River Runs Through It, Angels in the Outfield, 10 Things I Hate About You. He was on the TV series Third Rock from the Sun. Took a break to study at Columbia. And then when he came back as an adult actor, he's been known for films such as, let me name them off here, The Dark Knight Rises, Brick, Looper, The Lookout, Manic, Lincoln, G.I. Joe, The Rise of Cobra. It's not Daniel Day-Lewis.
I don't know. He was in Lincoln.
I mean, do I need to keep naming movies?
I'll
give you another hint. Goes by his full name. And it's like three names. Well, actually, technically his last name is hyphenated. It's hyphenated, if that helps. Still nothing?
I was going to say Christian Bale just because you said Batman. But
recently, he was in Knives Out, which was
I don't know
Oscar nominated.
I've seen bits and pieces of like three of these movies.
Yeah, he portrayed Edward Snowden in Snowden. I don't know anything else. I would have thought you guys would have got this by now. Okay.
You know my strong suit is not actors.
Well, that's also true. Okay, here we go. Initials. JG-L. JG-L. Last name's hyphenated with a G and an L. I'm going to give you all like 10 seconds. Need Jeopardy music. Y'all will know the name. 5, 4, 3... And no one gets it. Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Okay.
I kind of knew that one. Kind of knew his name.
See, y'all know the name. That's what I thought. Hmm.
What is he in Batman?
Let me look up.
See, that's the confusing part.
In The Dark Knight Rises, I'll tell you here in 1 second.
Oh, Rises. Okay.
That's what I thought it said Rises.
So that was,
he's John Blake.
So that's the Bane one, right?
Yes.
Okay.
He's John Blake.
Okay.
All right, still 4-1 Tucker. Next up here, this is a funny one. He's 57 today. He's an American stand-up comedian and actor. Goes by stage name. He's known for his character of a southern working-class dude, but he's actually from Nebraska.
Larry the Cable Guy?
It's Larry the Cable Guy!
Let's go!
It's Larry the Cable Guy. I didn't even get to say get her done or anything like that. Yep, blue collar comedy tour, and then acting roles such as a bunch of really bad live action movies, but also Mater in Cars franchise.
Who could ever forget?
Who could ever forget Mater?
American
exactly.
Icon.
Jesus. All right, 5-1 Tucker. Hayden, what's happening, bud? Is it just not a good list for you?
It's all actors.
Well, I got good news for you. No more actors.
Okay.
I got no more actors. All right, 84 years old today. He is an NFL legend, Hall of Famer in both college and pro football.
Is he still alive?
He is still alive.
Okay.
9-time Pro Bowler, NFL champion, regarded as not only the greatest running back of all time, but probably
Jim Brown.
The greatest player is Jim Brown.
I was going to say Barry Sanders.
Barry's not 84.
Yeah, not 84. I forgot the age by the time we got to football.
You got to listen to the age. That's important.
Yes. Got me there.
Jim Brown, 84. Okay, Hayden back on the board. 5-2 Tucker. All right. Next up here, he's 29 years old today. He is an English musician.
Ed Sheeran.
You got to be kidding me. Did you see that today?
No.
It's Ed Sheeran.
I swear to God, I didn't know.
I gotta give it to him. It's Ed Sheeran.
I just guessed a British sounding singer, the first one that popped in my
English
head.
English pop is a pretty big giveaway. I will say that. Yeah, it's Ed Sheeran.
Yeah, let's go.
There you go. Let me
dust off my shoulder there.
Tucker gets a win. Hey, and that's 3 in a row for you.
All right, let's go to break.
Real quick, let's just get these last two out of the way, because I saved like two big ones for last. Maybe you're going to be mad at me, Hayden, because I saved these last two
it's
for
Michael
last.
Jordan.
Michael Jordan, 57. And also...
General Robert Nealon.
Robert Nealon would have been 128.
Yep.
I wanted to keep you on your toes. I wanted to keep everyone on their toes. Yeah, sorry about that. Tucker, 2-0.
That's right, undefeated.
Don't start this now. Undefeated. That's what he started.
I want Bama.
Oh, my God. Yeah, we will go to break after that. We're going to wrap up overtime on this Monday when we come back. 865-546-8200. Last chance to get on the program. We're going to come back to close things out after this.
Everybody get up. It's time to slam now. We got a real jam going down. Welcome to the Space Jam. Here's your chance. Do your dance at the Space Jam. All right. All right.
Wrapping up this Monday edition of Overtime. Do we have a Daytona 500 update? They went into overtime. Is this over?
I would think so. Hold on.
NASCAR update. It's still in progress, it says, on ESPN. Denny Hamlin in the lead. If Denny Hamlin wins this, that means he's won the Daytona 500 3 times. And he's never won a championship. That's crazy to think about. He just used to be my favorite back in the day. Don't ask me why.
The guy just knows Daytona.
I just like the FedEx car. Don't ask me why. Not this little paint scheme.
It's a way to get fans. Just have a good looking car.
Yeah, I guess so. All right. Well, we're going to wrap things up here. A little bit of baseball talk, guys. Hayden, I know you're more of the baseball person here, but even if you're not a huge baseball fan, everyone's still been keeping up with the Astro sign stealing scandal, of course, and especially more since you've had. Not just the Astros players that were involved in it make their statements once spring training has started up here, but you also had the Astros owner, Jim Crane himself, make his stupid statements, like saying first that I don't think it impacted the game, and then about 5 minutes later saying, I never said it didn't impact the game. So it's been a bad look all around here. You've had guys rightfully from other teams speak their minds about the punishment and lack thereof when it comes especially to Astros players here. But Rob Manfred, he had his ESPN interview trying to discuss everything. He just keeps digging himself such a hole. I think the thing that stuck with me the most is the fact that when he was asked about the decision by Carl Ravitch, who was interviewing him, asked about the decision to still let the Astros keep their World Series championship, still let that title be official. He says, like, well, he said something along the lines of, well, it's just the trophy's just metal.
Yeah, he said, I think we would have a hard time getting back a piece of metal.
So you're calling your own championship trophy just a piece of metal, Commissioner of Baseball. Are you kidding me?
We have breaking news.
Uh-oh. Daytona 500 over?
Yeah, Denny Hamlin won. Third time.
Good job, Denny.
Three-time winner, Denny Hamlin. Okay.
I think that was a wreck on the last lap.
There's always a wreck at the end of the 500.
Yeah.
I'll never forget the 07 one where old Clint Bowyer crossed the finish line on the roof of his car because he had flipped over.
I remember that.
It was the Jack Daniels car, the 07 car.
I think that was your Kevin Harvick one or something.
People are saying
like
that. Like, word, this guy might not be alive.
What?
Yeah, Ryan Newman. People are saying like they might have just saw the driver die tonight or something.
Are people overreacting?
On Twitter? I don't know. Overreacting. That's what people are saying. It's like
I don't.
Insane.
Well, I hope I'm not talking about wreck like that.
Yeah.
Well, let's avoid talking about that for about 5 minutes, I guess. Here, back to baseball because I'm just really nervous now. Rob Manfred, he sucks, guys. He just absolutely sucks. And Rob Manfred has gone from a guy. When it comes to your big sports commissioners, he went from a commissioner that you really don't talk a whole lot about. There's even some people that are like trying to remember, what's the name of the baseball commissioner? What's his name again? It's not Bud Selig. Oh, that's new. Now he's just incompetent as hell, it seems like, when it comes to you can argue about whether the punishments were appropriate or not. His comments are just so...
He makes Goodell look great.
Yes. And worried about saying that we will have no Astros players getting plunked at the plate. We will have no retaliation. Buddy, you wouldn't have to worry about players retaliating if you had just punished them in the first place. So yeah. You didn't punish them. You didn't hand out any type of discipline to players. And now you're going to have other baseball players take it into their own hands.
Yeah, I mean,
he's got mitts on his hands.
If he had handed out punishments immediately, no, I mean, very recently after it was found out, this could have already died down by now. But since there wasn't, there's still all that just anger about how they haven't been, you know, served their justice and all this. And it's going to linger for a while. He's caused this.
Can't wait. Give me some nice videos this year. Just maybe some thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to see just... They're going to get thrown at every single game.
Yep. Hope so.
You've had...
I don't know. The commissioner just seems like he's, like, justifying his actions of not, like, taking any action on them.
How does that help him, though? Like I don't know how that helps
He
him.
Just seems like he's justifying it. Because, like, I listened to his interview last night, and he said that it's never been done in baseball, referring to, like, taking away the trophy or hunk of metal, whatever he said. And I just don't know if that's, like, a good, like, response to that. Like, just because they didn't do it in 1919 doesn't mean that you 100 years later, means you have to do the same thing.
Just because there's no precedent set for it doesn't mean you can set the precedent. And I hear the valid argument sometimes about, well, if we take away the Astros World Series championship, are we going to start, you know, going back and taking away batting titles, all this other stuff from the steroid era? Are you going to open up a Pandora's box? I say that doesn't mean you have to open up a Pandora's box. Just take the title away and be done with it. And if some people want to bellyache about past egregious actions, just don't acknowledge it. You're the commissioner. Take away the damn title. You don't have to respond about, well, what about this? What about that? You don't have to. You don't have to. It's almost, I went from a few months ago when all the details first started coming out about, well, nah, there's no reason to take it away. I mean, the NCAA took away Louisville's basketball championship, but we know they won the title. We know Reggie Bush won the Heisman. But the more it comes out about this, and the more that just the players obviously aren't really sorry for what happened, I say take it away. If they're not really that sorry, okay, I guess you won't mind losing your hunk of metal.
Yeah.
It's making baseball look so bad.
Really bad.
The guy I'm mad about in this whole, like, most is probably that Carlos Correa guy, the shortstop for the Astros. He's so tone deaf. He's just like, I mean, it did steal a MVP from Judge to Altuve. So, I mean, but I get that he's like his friend, but he doesn't have to take up for him like that and just go after other players.
Have you guys seen the stuff where, like, you know, you remember a while back? Yeah.
Yeah.
You guys saw a while back, Altuve, he didn't want to pull his shirt
off. Buzzers,
oh, yeah. First he said, oh, it was because I think I look bad without a shirt. And now
he had a bad tattoo.
Someone went back to around that time and found a picture of him on the beach, shirtless.
No tattoo?
No tattoo to be found.
That's funny how that happens. Well, that does it for us here tonight on Overtime for Tucker, for Hayden. I am Tanner. We will be back tomorrow, 6 o'clock, probably a short pregame edition of the show tomorrow. But y'all be good. We'll catch you in more overtime at tomorrow.